humming that, singing that. I heard you. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in a time of storm. That's good. What good music that we sing here. I wouldn't trade this music here at Cornerstone for the music in any modern church anywhere. Nowhere at all. This is music that honors God and blesses our hearts. Open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I'm going to read a handful of verses this morning, but I'll just have you turn to one. There's a theme I want to present to you, and we find it used in Acts chapter 1. Jesus has ascended back into heaven. After 40 days following the crucifixion, the resurrection, and He's left the 11 disciples to prepare and carry out the Great Commission. Let's see, I'm just going to read one verse. Verse 14, Acts chapter 1, verse 14. It lists the disciples and it says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren." I want you to pay attention to the simple little phrase, "with one accord." I want you to keep that in mind, "with one accord." Now, don't bother. I'm just going to read chapter 2. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Verse 46, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." Chapter 4, verse 24, "And when they'd heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is." Chapter 5, verse 12, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." Chapter 8 and verse 6, "And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." Then in Acts chapter 15 and verse 25, "It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul." One more verse, and then we'll make an application. Romans chapter 15, verse 6. "Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ." I have read to you the times that the phrase "with one accord" is used in the New Testament in a positive context. There are four times in the book of Acts where it is used in a negative association. And with those times, and once in the book of Romans, 12 times this term is used in the entire Bible and in the New Testament. I've read you all the positive, all the things that applied in this first century church. I want you to note that, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times in the book of Acts alone. The book of Acts gives us the history of the New Testament church, the grounding and the progress and the growth and the outreach of the New Testament church as begun in Jerusalem and eventually to Antioch and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So, with this subject of one accord, emphasized, by the way, the book of Romans, what is that that we call that? The doctrinal foundation for the church. Our theological doctrines are grounded and founded in the book of Romans. We get a lot of our big Bible terms, our big theological terms in relationship to what we should know about God and salvation from the book of Romans. So we have the onset of the church, the grounding biblically, doctrinally of the church, and we have repeatedly the idea, or not the idea, the concept, well, that's not even the right word either, the principle. Okay, I'm getting nods, so I said the right one. With one accord. Now, we've all heard the jokes that the preachers make about Hondas in the Bible. You know, how did everybody fit in one accord? You know, they were all in one accord. Well, you have to change the preposition. I think that's the right grammatical form. And I'm not even going to look up because I don't want to embarrass myself. But every usage is with. You say, well, sometimes in can be interchanged. Sometimes it can. But every term that we use is with. One accord. You say, it didn't say that in the book of Romans. It's said to be like-minded. So when you think and consider that phrase, with one accord, you define that and say, well, what does one accord mean? Usually, are we in accord? That means we're in agreement. But as I said, defined in the book of Romans, like-minded. Unanimous. You know, I remember Dr. Robertson having business meetings at Highland Park Baptist Church. And I remember the first time he had one, I thought to myself, did he say that? I'm not sure. Did he say that? He brought something up. I don't know if it was to take on a new missionary or whatever. Dr. Robertson had been there by that time, he'd been there almost 40 years. He had the confidence of his deacons, the board of trustees, the church membership. Basically, they trusted his judgment. And so there were times he could have bring up a missionary right at the close of a service that just spoke. He said, we're going to have a motion that we'll take him on for support. Is there a motion? And so on. But I remember the business meeting is discussing something. He said, all in favor, please say amen or whatever. And he said, there'll be no opposition. I said, did he say that? Or maybe he said, there is no opposition. But it sounded to me like he said, there'll be no opposition. And he could do that. I remember speaking with a gentleman who belonged to a different type of Baptist church. And I was speaking about Bobby Robertson. And Bobby Robertson spent 50 years at Gospelite before he passed away. And Bobby had gone to another church. And this church was downsizing their bus ministry. And so while Brother Bobby was there, he said, you're not going to be using these buses? And the pastor said, we can't use them anymore. He said, I'll buy them. Our church will buy them because they had a huge bus ministry. And he went back, told the treasurer. Treasurer wrote the check, da-da-da-da-da. This gentleman from another Baptist church said, he can't do that. He said, that's got to go through the finance committee. And it's got to be voted on by the church. I said, you don't understand. Brother Bobby's got the complete confidence of his people. He's not going to do anything out of line. He's not going to do anything against the Word of God. And so, you know, it doesn't happen very often in a Baptist church, believe me. I've been in one long enough, so I understand. But when we talk about one accord, it speaks of being unanimous. No dissent. All in agreement. We're all thinking the same thing. And isn't it interesting that it's right on the onset of church in Jerusalem, Antioch, Asia, eventually Rome. It's all with one accord. I know when you get two individuals in proximity, you're never going to agree on everything. You won't believe this. My wife doesn't agree with everything I think of. I don't understand it. It just makes no sense to me why she's wrong. And she's not even in here, so she can't take up for herself. But I don't understand why she doesn't agree with me. And you understand why I don't agree with her. Oh, she's there. No, but when there are a variance of individuals, there are differences of perspectives, differences of positions or opinions, those kind of things. But when the church was founded and grounded and began to move, they didn't have any. Now, they showed up eventually, but time after time after time, we are told, they're with one accord. So my assumption is it wasn't even a Baptist church, which goes against everything I always say, because First Church in Jerusalem was a Baptist church. First Church in Antioch was a Baptist. But anyway, one accord in a local church. It doesn't mean that we all like the same color, wall, carpet, or some of you may not like a mustache or facial hair on a preacher. Some of you might think, well, I think your hair ought to be shorter or longer. I don't think you ought to wear a tie. I think nobody ought to wear a tie. I think of this and that. We all have differences of perspectives and opinions and sometimes positions, but we ought to be on the same page on most things. And so I'm going to give you some of these most things in a little bit of time. One accord in one place. Local church. I'm a local church guy. I believe in the ministry of the local church. I think that's the emphasis of Scripture. I think we find... By the way, let me read this to you. Because there has been... And I got into a little difference of opinion with a former pastor. I said, well, I believe that everybody belongs to the body of Christ. Oh, no. He said, it's local church only. I said, well, what about all the believers? Don't they all belong to the body or the bride? I said, we could call it a universal church. Well, universal means Catholic, so you're treading on dangerous ground right there. But I said, we all belong. No. Those are futuristic terms. The Bible speaks of the local church. And the emphasis in the New Testament, where we must draw our resource from, about 99% of the reference to church in the New Testament is to a local church, just like Cornerstone Baptist Church. I'm a local church person. It is a local church person that you are a member of. It is a local church that you give your tithe to. It is a local church that you are active and serve in. It is a local church that sends out missionaries. It is a local church that acknowledges deacons and sets apart deacons or preachers or missionaries. It is a local church that carries out the ministry of the Great Commission. Well, other people can do that under other umbrellas, but they can't do it biblically. They cannot do it biblically. By the way, where was the church located in the book of Acts? These first chapters, help me out. Jerusalem. There was a local church in Jerusalem. Then, because of persecution, there was one in Antioch. And then before we get through the New Testament, watch this. Rome, Corinth, Galatia, Ephesus, Philippi, Colossae, Thessalonica, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. That's just 15 local churches that are named in the New Testament. When you get up on a Sunday morning, now I know some of you shift seasonally. You head north for the summertime because you don't want to deal with hurricanes. and million degree weather. I got that. And then you come down here because you don't want to deal with frost and snow and freeze. I got that. But when you get up of a Sunday morning and it's time to go to church, you go to a local church. You say, but I can watch it on TV. It ain't the same. Besides that, the man on television will never come visit you when you get sick. And when someone dies in your family, you can't call him and expect him to show up at the funeral home. And I could go on and on. You need a local church. And they were all with one accord in one place. The local church. So, one accord in one place. One accord in one purpose. What are we here for? Not to show off my new clothes. Not to impress the neighbors. Not to impress you. We're here to glorify God. There are things that are surrounded under that venue of glorifying God, but we're here to glorify God. Jesus died on the cross to pay your sin debt. He gave His life so that you could have eternal life. My Bible tells me Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Upon this rock I will build my church, so it belongs to Jesus. And so when I enter in through the doors of Cornerstone Baptist Church, because that's the local church that I'm a part of, and when you go up north, you got one that you're a part of, but while you're here, you assemble here, and we're so grateful. For those of you that winter and summer, and you come here and come to church with us, we are so blessed and grateful to have you and enjoy your presence. But we come to glorify God. How do we do that? Well, we worship. We sing, I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun, for God so loved the world. We're here to spread the gospel. That's what we're here for. Hand out gospel tracts and invite people to church. Tell people about Jesus. We do that. Listen, you don't go and speak to somebody at Walmart or Lowe's and say, hey, let me invite you. Let me talk to you about Jesus. And that's fine. Oh, you're telling me about Jesus. Where can I go to learn more? Where are you going to invite them to? Church! You're spreading the gospel. Discipling the saints. I'm still learning. Been saved for 43 years. I've been in the ministry for 35, 36. Wait a minute. Let's see. Five, six. I don't know. It's been a while. I'm still learning. It's why I need to study. It's why I still need to read my Bible and read it through and go back and do it again and go back and do it again. And I've preached out of the book of Acts before, but I needed to study again. I needed to prepare again. And so I do that so that I can be discipled, so that I can be a learner of the Word of God. And then I get to come here and pass on what little bit that I've written down. I won't say that I've grasped, but I've written down so I can pass it on to you. This morning, Brother Dave had a Sunday school lesson out of Psalm 19. What a joy that was. What a blessing that was. I got something out of it. Why? Because we're here to disciple the saints, to learn more about God. There's a song that we sing, more about Jesus would I know. Well, you come to church, it helps. I used to tell people, you'll learn more by accident just by being in church than you will on purpose not going to church. I think I said that right. I hope I did. One accord in one place. One accord in one purpose. Now, don't forget the definition of one accord, unanimous. one mind, like-minded. One accord in prayer. Now, I read Acts chapter 2, a verse of it, and verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread in prayers. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, that eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. The importance of prayer, cannot overemphasize it. I read it in, 424. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. And then they go on to continue in prayer, and they ask God for boldness. They ask God for strength, and the place was shaken, and they got it. What did they do? They asked God. They prayed. Wednesday nights, we spend time taking requests. Oftentimes, these are testimonies. Praises. Pastor Watson at Bible Baptist Church in Appomattox, by the way, they got revival this morning, tonight, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I sent him a message. He said, thank you for praying. He was here with us last year sometime. I don't think he came to visit me anyway. I don't think he's in church. But he's the little boy that was in Awana's when I was there. He's the pastor of the church now. And he put out on Facebook something this week about the goodness of God. And one of the things was, God answered a prayer. Did not say what it was. I assume it was a personal, important, specific need. He said, God answered the prayer. You know, what a wonderful thing when you pray for something and then it happens. You can rejoice in that. You can get in on the blessing of that. If you're not praying, you ain't getting in on the blessing. You miss out on the blessing. It's always good when we pray. And I know sometimes it's just too much to pray for. I mean, we've got a list every Wednesday night. It's a lot. But those things that God brings to your mind, pray. Remember Pat's, you know, method, getting up in the middle of the night, praying for this. Whatever procedure, way, process works for you, but spend time in prayer. And in the local church, in the early church, they were one accord in prayer. Paul said to Timothy, I exhort therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all people, for kings that are all that are in authority. What's he this is a pastoral epistle, but what's he saying? You better be praying. Christians, you need to be praying. Those folks in the Midwest, I just got the newsletter from Hearts with Hands. They are a crisis group. They'll be going there. But these folks need help. Well, you say, well, I can't go. Then we can pray. You say, but that's, don't discount prayer. Don't discount prayer. You say, I can't give, I can't go, you can pray. First century church was with one accord in prayer. Okay, one accord in practice. We just read that in Acts chapter 2. Doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayers. They were practicing. It's what you do on a Sunday morning. You come in. We came in for Sunday school. We had donuts. I don't think they had donuts in the New Testament, but they could have. But they fellowshipped, breaking of bread. They ate their meals together. They fellowshipped as Christians. They practiced their beliefs because they were one accord in practice. And you know, the whole point is live right and do right. We've missed the mark in our country. I was telling Miss Linda earlier this morning, I read a news blurb. I'm about the point, I'm going to throw all the news away. I ain't going to quit reading it all. But this Christian couple went to Disney. Saved up their money, went to Disney. spent the extra money to have one of the special meals at one of those resort places and to meet and greet one of the Disney characters. Just a great opportunity. Christian family. And the character happened to be the Wicked Witch from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. You know, hey, it's a character. Except when they met the Wicked Witch from the Seven Dwarfs, it wasn't a she. It was a he. Dressed up as a witch. Live right, do right. We can't be responsible for everybody else, the decisions they make. But we are responsible for me. Live right and do right. They continue with one accord in practice. I remember years ago, I was working at B&W in Lynchburg. This was in the late 70s. I didn't get saved till 1980. And that's when Jerry Falwell was starting Lynchburg Baptist College. That's what it was named initially, Lynchburg Baptist College. And you could spot a Lynchburg Baptist College student 10 miles away. I mean, the guy's hair was buzzed. Nothing touching the ear, nothing touching the collar. Every girl had a skirt or a dress on. And listen, do not get offended at me for saying that. I'm just saying that's what it was. And that's how things used to be. Why? Because the standard for the school, and when I went to Tennessee Temple in 1981, that was the same standard for Tennessee Temple students. Brother Randy can tell you about Hiles Anderson, same standard for them too. That was just the way it was, so that people could recognize, oh, that's one of the students. We had a guy working at B&W. He was a Lynchburg Baptist College student. I thought he was the biggest square on 2 feet. But I recognized him. That's before I got saved. But we live in a day where people need to see Christians living right and doing right. One accord in practice. One accord in praise. That's part of our worship. I know I'm repeating myself. The broken record just keeps coming back and clipping again or clicking again or whatever. But singing a hymn, that ought to begin in our heart, in our spirit. I want to sing a hymn because in my heart I've got a song. He hath put a new song in my heart. Praise upon our lips. One accord in praise. It doesn't mean that we all stand up here and sing a special or play an instrument or whatever. It just means we've got a song in our heart because Jesus is there. And that song ought to manifest itself upon our lips. And maybe it's not just singing. Maybe it's just, well, praise the Lord. You found a bargain at Walmart. Well, praise the Lord. I mean, you pick it off the shelf. Praise the Lord. It's the last one that's still on sale. Praise the Lord. And the person behind you says, I wanted that. And then you go, here, you can have it. Well, what I'm saying is a life that testifies to praise. You know, if you're happy and you know it, if you're happy and you know it, let your face show it. Excuse me. That's not one of the verses, is it? But anyway, one accord in praise. You can do that while you're praying. You can do that while you're reading your Bible. You can do that of a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You can do that. I guess you can do it in Walmart. I just use it as an illustration. I was at Walmart, was it Saturday? Friday or Saturday? Yeah. Yeah. Be careful when you go to Walmart. You never know who you run into. But honestly, I'm pushing my cart. Doing this. going down the next row, and the lady said, "You're just in everybody's way, aren't you?" I said, "I'm trying not to." I guess even in Walmart, you could praise the Lord. So one accord in praise. And, you know, maybe that smile upon your face will lead the person that's behind you in the checkout line and say, "What are you smiling about?" "Well, I got church tomorrow." "Oh, where you go to church?" You know, just something simple like that. Now, one accord in persecution. I thought, you know, if you do all the rest of these things, people ain't going to like you. The world's not going to like you. Why are these people protesting Israel so desperately? Because they're God's covenant people, that's why. And the devil is leading the anti-Semitic protests in America and around the world, and the persecution that they've undergone. The devil is behind all of that. The devil also doesn't like Cornerstone Baptist Church. And he doesn't like the church that you attend when you go back up north. And so he'll do everything he can to disrupt or distract or critique or criticize or everything else. It happened in Jerusalem. And it went from Jerusalem, and guess where it went? Samaria. And after that, it went to Antioch. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And then Antioch did what? A local church sent out missionaries. Paul and Barnabas went out. Then Paul and Silas go out. And the word got around, but it spread because persecution arose here. So we kept going and went here. And persecution arose here. We kept going and went here. And guess what? That's how it goes. You ask Randy and Kelly about what's going on in India and all the regions around those various countries and regions and everything. A lot of people don't like Christians. The little fat man in North Korea don't like Christians. The president of China doesn't like Christians. That's why we don't trust them politically. But anyway, that's not going there. But Christians are not appreciated by the world. So there will be times when people will oppose you. What am I going to do? I'll poke my head in the corner, sad sack, and wake my way home because somebody doesn't like me. Just keep on doing the rest of the things we're doing. Say, well, they don't like me. They didn't like Jesus. They didn't like Paul. They didn't like all the rest of them. They stoned Stephen. They cut Paul's head off. You're in good company. If they don't like you, you're in good company. One accord in persecution. One accord in persistence. That goes along with what I just said. What do you mean? Well, if they don't like you, just keep on doing it. If you're doing what's right. Now, if you're doing something wrong, for heaven's sake, stop it. It's ruining everybody's testimony. But if you're doing what's right, just keep on doing it. One accord. Don't quit. Don't give up. We've all heard stories about the miner who was digging in the ground for precious whatever, gold, whatever, and dig and spent all his time, spent all his resources, and finally gave up because he was broke and disgusted. Somebody else came in and took a couple shovels full and found the stream of gold. He just quit too soon. It's always too soon to quit. So just one accord in persistence. And then finally, Anne understood, place. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. He's losing it because he's already said place. He already said place. Local assembly, place of worship. That ain't what I'm talking about. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." A place called heaven. One accord in one place. Because if you're saved, that's where you're going. Now, I'm a Baptist from here to there. That's what I am. I don't apologize for it. It's what I am. But Baptists ain't the only Christians that's going to be in heaven. There are going to be other people there that don't dot their I's exactly the way I do. They don't cross their T's the way I cross my T's. They might never wear a tie. They might have hair touching their ears. They might have a full beard. If they're saved, they're going to the same heaven I'm going to. What are we going to do? Mark off, wall off my spot? This is for Baptists. This is for independent Baptists. You regular Baptists, you Southern Baptists, you free will Baptists, and there's about a million Baptists. You got your own little corner of heaven. I got mine over here. You Methodists, you Episcopalians, you whatever else you are. No! One accord in one place called heaven. And by the way, when we get there, we'll all believe the same. Well, how is that? By this. When the journey's done, we'll all be in one accord in one place. Listen, it worked in the first century church. First century church grew daily. By multitudes, by leaps and bounds. Everywhere Paul went, it grew. And it kept on going after Paul was gone. Because we've got the record of God's inspired writ, it keeps on going till today. And because it kept on going, you're here today. One accord will keep on going. It will work. Just put it into practice. With one accord. Father, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. I pray that we are in one accord here this morning. I believe we are. I don't see any negativity or differences of doctrine or major complications. I don't see any of that. We're individuals. We all have our own preferences, but we're here in one accord, and that's the way it should be. And that's how come you've blessed us here, because of the accord. Help us to stay that way. Help us to be like-minded. One mind, one accord. Unanimous in our place, in our practice, in our prayer, in our praise, in all of this. Help us to do that. For your honor and glory, so that this church might remain and go forward, so that other good churches might remain and go forward, and so that the light will shine in a very dark world. As dark as it gets, we're supposed to let our light shine. Help it to shine here, at this place we call church home. And even for those who go back up north, may it shine up there, in their church home up there. And even though we may be separated by 1,000 miles, we're still in one accord. And what a joy that is. And so bless us today. I pray that everybody here knows Jesus as Savior. We cannot be in one accord if one's lost and one's saved. That's impossible. Lord, may everybody here know Christ as Savior. Know for sure that heaven's their home. Realize Jesus died on the cross to pay their sin debt. Shed His blood to wash them white as snow, rose again from the dead the third day to prove victorious so that we could have victory, and has gone to prepare that place for us. May everyone here know Jesus as Savior. May every one of us that's saved be in that one accord. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Miss Ann, would you step to the piano and play just softly something that would touch our hearts? Along with the message, one accord in one place. It's what we've done. Let's continue to do that. God, challenge your heart this morning. I don't know what your need is. I know we all have needs. I trust that everybody here is saved. I hope that your need is not a Savior. But if it's your needs a Savior, then come. You step out of your place. We'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. no need to walk out of this building lost. Christian friend, you say, well, there's only so much I can do. Then do that so much. Just that so much. We can all pray. We all can do so many things. We sell ourselves short. Let's do in one accord. I long to see my Savior. First of all, I shall know Him. I shall know Him. Where? In that place. By the prints of the nails in His hand. Thank you all so much for being here today. God bless you. We'll be back tonight in the 6 o'clock hour. And don't forget to pray for the special needs. And pray for each other, if you would, please. Have a good day.